It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. I have as a returning guest someone who's not been there for a while because of COVID-19, and we've all been staying in place, I guess. But at any rate, Patricia Simone is back with me, and we're going to be talking about a topic that is near and dear to our hearts, mm-hmm. and that is seeing the signs. But before we get started on that, I do want to remind everyone that you can go to my website at synergyconnectionradio.com. And if you have someone that, after you listen to Patricia and I discuss seeing the signs, if you have someone that maybe has a lot of signs going on in their personal lives and they're missing this show, you can have them go to synergyconnectionradio.com, and all of the shows are archived there. Patricia has, I think, maybe four shows at least.
Yeah, I think at least four.
Maybe more. I'm coming up on my 100th show in October, so that is just mind-blowing to me. And if you go to the website, you're going to see Boomers Forever Young, a link to their products. And I would encourage everyone, especially because we don't know what else is going to be facing us in the future, whether it's going to be a COVID-20 or, 19 is not going away. And it behooves every single person listening to this program to understand that you have to take personal responsibility for your health. Doctors cannot do anything about this virus except to try to keep you alive. But if you were to be taking vitamin D3 to boost your immune system, if you were to take the barley, which reduces inflammation, that is from their website, I use all their products. So I'm going to encourage people to just check out the website and understand what you personally can do to make sure that you stay healthy and don't end up becoming a victim of COVID-19. So if you purchase a product, try to keep in mind that if you use my name, L-U-C-Y, in the promo code, it's a discount code that's there, you'll get $5 off of your products. All right, so Patricia is a certified hypnotherapist. She's also an intuitive counselor, and I'm going to have her explain what that means in a second. And she's an energy healer. And her approach to life is to help people live a happier and more joy-filled life. And certainly that would be your best life,
yes.
Just like the show. So yes. Explain to people, what is an intuitive counselor?
So an intuitive, with intuitive counseling, what we want to do is we want to connect with our client's energy. And through conversation and finding out what's really going on with somebody, we are just divinely guided to help them get back on their path. So that's really, it's a very simple way that I could explain it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's through talk therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a psychologist or a social worker, but the training that you receive with intuitive counseling is really to make a heart connection
mm-hmm.
with your client and start to tap into what are their feelings, what are their emotions, what might they be needing to understand on a deeper level now that they're not hearing.
Right. Which kind of leads us into our topic,
yeah.
which is seeing the signs. And
right.
So many people, myself included, I'm sure we all miss the signs from mm-hmm. time to time because we're so busy with life that we
yeah.
don't see what's right in front of us.
Right.
So let's kind of dive into seeing the signs, and I'm going to hand it back to you because I have so many signs that have been in my life for the last, I'm going to say, several years,
right.
and some of them are totally mind-blowing,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to give one to the listeners here because I think they've heard me say it before, but you never know who's listening to the program.
Right.
I know that I talked to you about this, but probably a year or more ago now, I was making something in the kitchen, and I had eggs out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And these were, I'll give this company a plug because they're really, really good eggs. But it's Nellie's eggs. And there were just a little half carton, you know, six of them. And the first one that I cracked open was a double yolk. Mm-hmm. And I had not seen a double yolk in, like, forever. Most people don't see them very often.
Right.
So the first one was a double yolk. The second one was a double yolk. The third one was a double yolk. The fourth one was a double yolk.
Right.
And now I'm at a point where I'm going, okay, I don't need more than four eggs.
Right.
So I had four double yolk eggs in one 6-egg carton.
Right. It's amazing. A
definite sign of some sort. And later I found out that I was making something like brownies that required one egg. That was also a double yolk from the same carton. So now I had five, and then mm-hmm. the last egg was a single. But more symbolic even for me, because the numbers 7 and 11 figure very heavily into my life.
Right.
That's an 11. Five double yolks are 10.
Right.
And one.
One. Yes.
So, you know, we have these signs. That one was blatantly huge. But we have
these
signs.
What was your takeaway from that?
Abundance.
Right.
Yeah. Abundance is coming. You know, that's probably the only word that I could use to describe, but that it was definitely something rather spiritually miraculous because of the 11. The 11 is an archangel number,
mm-hmm.
and I always have either angels or archangels that are kind of around me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just thinking, okay, you know, they're with you, they're making sure that you're safe, you're taken care of, and here's the abundance, you know, that will take care of you.
Did you also know that the number 11 is the symbol for abundance?
I did not.
Yeah,
did
so
not.
The two, the one and the one, is a column for abundance to come down in numerology.
I did not know that.
So that's also a master number in numerology.
Well, and my birthday is on 29, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which
so
is another 11.
A lot of 11s.
A lot
of
11s.
So then what I would ask you, and I don't mean to turn the tables on you.
Sure. Yes, you do. You've done it before.
I know. That was scheduled.
Okay.
So how, you know, we have to look at when we want to see the signs, right? Many times we don't even know that the signs are even there.
Right.
So we have to be waking up enough to sort of look like, okay, what am I being told? Maybe you would have seen those double yolks at another time in your life and thought, well, isn't that funny?
True.
But you weren't looking for the signs.
Right.
So there has to be a point in time where we begin to wonder, well, what are the signs?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we have to wake up and we have to start thinking, like, what is it the world is or the universe is trying to tell me right now?
Right.
Right?
So what would make a person begin to recognize that they do have signs?
Well, a lot of things can happen. Let's say, let's take, you know, in my work, most people come in to me primarily because they're struggling emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so wrapped up in their emotions that they don't even know where to start unwinding it,
mm-hmm.
right? They just
mm-hmm.
are all in their emotions, in their fear, in the rumination period.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we ruminate, we don't have room for anything else. Is so overload of emotions and life circumstances driving those emotions can start to help you unravel and begin to take a breath, like through learning relaxation techniques,
mm-hmm.
right? And start to allow your mind to open and listening and reading and being ready for the signs,
mm-hmm.
ready to understand, like, if I continue to go on this way, what else can I expect? Probably more of the same, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you follow the patterns of your life, we can anticipate that more of the same is going to show up. So if we want to enact change, we have to do something different. And when we want to do something different is when we start to look at what else is out there. And this is where I see people starting to open up then and looking for signs. You have to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be ready.
So if people listening to the program wanted to maybe better understand signs in their life.
Right.
I know for myself, it kind of boiled down to getting quiet. getting calmer, maybe becoming more grounded, beginning to ask for, because I, you know, as I said, I have angels around me all the time, so I might ask them to show me something.
Right.
And then you don't know where it's going to show up. So, you know, people that are, again, listening to the show, nature provides a lot of signs.
Right. Nature is a great source of signs. You know, and if you're also struggling and you are praying to God, right, or to the universe or to your guides, whoever you may pray to for help, right, and you're asking for help, but you're not willing to see the help that's being provided to you, right? We can't, what we have to start to recognize is with a quiet mind, we can pray, but then we need to be open to receive as well.
Right, it's not a one-way street.
It's not a one-way street, so then, you know, we may be getting answers or signs, but they may not look like what we want them to look like.
All right, let's say, like the other night, I had asked for a sign myself, and as I'm walking at my favorite park, I look up, and there's an osprey, a huge osprey that's about 200 feet above my head.
Right, right.
So I wasn't sure exactly what the sign meant. I just knew that this bird normally wasn't in her nest, and there she was.
Right.
So I came home and I Googled, you know, the spiritual meaning of ospreys. And of course, different people have different spiritual ideas about what everything means.
Right.
But so people could Google if they saw an unusual butterfly or if they saw, like one night I had blue jays all around me. So I Googled the spiritual meaning of blue jays. And it was absolutely spot on as to what the meaning meant at that particular point in my life. But so people need to have a reference point. You know, they might see something, a snake, you know, a vulture, and they might think, oh, vultures mean dead things.
Right.
But in reality, they don't.
No.
They don't at all. So
no, that's just our perception of it. So when people begin to open and they're looking, okay, so now I'm open for the signs, you know, let's say you saw that osprey and you didn't do anything about it the first night, and you saw it again the second time and the third time, maybe the fourth time, you'd wonder, why do I keep seeing this osprey? Like, the signs will keep coming until you get it.
Right.
You just
or
have
at least
to
look it up and
least,
find out.
Right. Well, at least like make the connection that, oh, wait, maybe this osprey is trying to tell me something. Right. Getting it, you know, so the more, and then believing that these are messages. Right. So people have to be open to believe that the butterfly flying by is showing you your life is transforming into something beautiful. Right. After your struggle. So it starts with belief, going through that period where you wake up and start to open up to receiving the signs, then understanding the signs and recognizing them again when they present themselves to you. And then it starts to shift your perception. Well, I forgot what I wanted to get to was talk about the faith and the trust that the signs are real. So that's, for some people, is very hard when we're looking at spiritual meaning in the signs, right?
Right.
Sometimes people say, oh, I can't believe it. I don't want to believe it. And they push it away. They're actually
so
pushing
away.
So
what might be a sign that somebody would see and they would go, I don't want that sign?
Well, let's see. You're talking about in life, in spiritual, is it?
Well, like if somebody is working with you and you're asking them to be aware of the signs that are in their lives. So maybe they have seen a sign repetitively and they keep, you know, maybe they're keeping a journal, which is really a good idea.
It is nowadays.
So they're keeping a journal and they make a notation in the journal that for several days in a row they keep either thinking about, dreaming about, seeing a particular sign. And they come into you after a week and they say, you know, every day I'm waking up with this sign or this symbol, you know, as I wake up. But I don't like what that symbol means.
Right.
And it might be a death symbol, but it doesn't mean they're dying or that somebody that they love is dying.
Yeah, because people would be driven by fear. And so if someone were to come in And they, you know, saw something that resembled a death symbol for them.
Mm-hmm. A coffin.
Right. What we would do is we would want to understand more about that sign.
Okay. So let's play with that one for a minute. You know, because I don't know that people think about coffins. I'm trying to think of drowning. A lot of times people will have this symbolic feeling that they're drowning.
Yeah,
so what might that mean to them?
Okay, so if I could shift it for a second. Mm-hmm. Here's a classic example I had with a client up in New York.
Okay.
Very self-made, wealthy millionaire. And he was skeptical about hypnosis and energy healing, but he decided to give it a shot. My office was in a boutique gym where I was a member for a long time. I had been an employee there for a while, so people got to know me. I opened up my office, and he said, okay, I don't think that you can, that this will work for me, but if it does, I'm going to keep coming back, and, you know, here's your $100 or whatever it was for it. Basically, so he had night terrors.
Okay.
And he's, you know, in his 60s, and he's dealt with night terrors. So here we are, I'm giving him a nice guided meditation. Put him on a sailboat. He's gently sailing down to sea, but everything is wonderful. Just a nice guided relaxation. Well, he got very relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
But this was like an opening for all of us, the two of us in this session. He came back several times. He said, I know you don't know this, but the way that you described that sailboat, I had a ship like that. And it was sunk during the Hurricane Sandy. My captain went and took it down to Florida to safer waters. And we were up in New York at the time. It got wrapped up in the storm and the captain died, even though I told him, and he was being sued. Okay, so I'm setting the stage.
Okay.
Oh my God, I had no idea. Well, of course I'm being guided, right? There's your intuitive counseling.
Right.
Right in.
Right.
You're just reading the energy. And so this would be something you'd want to speak about had he gone for hypnosis. Well, the next week he came in. I said, we're going to stay off of the ship today. But he said, you got me very relaxed, and I'm really surprised that my mind could be quiet. The next week he came in. I thought, you know, man of wealth and prestige, I'm going to put him on his own private jet. Nice, beautiful jet, you know, talked about how luxurious the interior was, etc., making sure you're safe, all the safety precautions before we take off. Oh, we got nice and relaxed. I took him to a beautiful island. Do you know, he felt so relaxed, but he came out of that and he said, you know, I can't believe that you brought that one up, but I had a plane that was just like that and it crashed and blah, blah, blah. I'm being sued about this too. So I thought, well, we're really tapping in here to this guy's gut. He wants to be healed is what I'm seeing, right? The next time he comes in, he says, I had a nightmare, and I always have night terrors, but this time my wife woke me up because I was literally standing against the wall holding the ceiling up, right? And I said, well, you've got a lot of, you know, pressure on you. And he said, no, I can manage everything. Everything is perfectly fine. Now, let's set it up from the ship to the jet. To the night terror, to holding up the ceiling that he was trying to hold everything up.
Right.
He is there not wanting to see the sign.
Right.
Not admitting that these lawsuits would be crushing him.
Absolutely.
Literally, that it would drive him to get out of the bed and to be standing there. And he was a tall man. I don't know if his arms could reach the ceiling. But standing there, you know, having a night terror, trying to hold up the world where it feels like it's crumbling down. So to me, that's somebody who didn't want to see the signs and admit, you know, you have to be willing to admit that life has to change for you, right? Because change is the only constant. And, you know, we're not comfortable with change. Even though we're suffering over here with these life experiences that are causing him to wake up in the middle of the night feeling like he's crushed.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know what would happen to release all of that pain, that fear, right? What life would be like.
Right.
So what do you need? You know, then we connect the mind, body, and spirit. Would a heart attack be next? Now, I know he didn't have one. But how long we let these things go on before we see the sign and step outside and say, okay, what do I need to change?
Right.
What do I need to do to change? Let me be open to the change. Show me the signs of change, of what's coming. And then being able to trust that it can be better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think there's a whole process there. And that was an example of, you know, classic not seeing the signs, not wanting to see the signs.
Not wanting to see the signs, right.
Right.
So sometimes the signs can be, you know, disturbing, like his was.
Like his was,
yeah.
Right.
And then I would say that sometimes the signs are open for interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've asked for, like, angelic guidance,
right,
or spiritual guidance of some sort, those signs might not be quite as, you know, like, depressing as his
right.
signs were.
Well,
but he needed to wake up because night terrors, my gosh.
So in a sense, what happens is our spirit wants us to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And what it will do for us is it will give us interior signs, right? Like we just talked about, to push that heaviness off of us.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't want it anymore. So our silent observer or our spirit doesn't want the weight of this crushing this body that we're in anymore.
Right. So how do you think, let's kind of weave this into our current way of looking at the world. You know, we've got COVID-19 rearing its head up again in some states, and Florida's one, and of course
right.
that's where we are.
Mm-hmm.
We have people petitioning the governor down here
mm-hmm.
that everybody, if you're out in public now, should have on a mask
right.
In order to, you know, quiet down the virus.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I just recently had a video that was shown, and of course I guess you can alter things, but I don't think this particular video was meant to alter. And a lot of people have complained of headaches if they
mm-hmm.
have on the mask for any length of time. And what they did was they used a standard measurement of oxygen. Have you seen this?
Well, I know where you're going. I haven't seen it, but that was one of my concerns because
mm-hmm.
you're breathing in your own carbon dioxide.
Exactly.
And so that leads to asphyxiation.
It does.
And
it does.
So, you know, we have to find other ways.
Yeah,
because
I'm just thinking, you know, social distancing is
mm-hmm.
the easiest way to do this.
Right.
But the mask, even my guest from last week,
mm-hmm.
Chris Gibson, has a skincare company.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a lot of YouTube videos on skincare.
Right.
And people are developing acne. They're developing all kinds of eczema issues
yeah.
because it's constantly moist
right.
underneath there. And so bacteria is forming on
collecting,
the face.
Right. And talk about another aspect of that. People are reusing their masks.
Yes, and without washing them.
Right. Or even the even the blue surgical masks,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can, there's protocol for that. Take it off, put it in the brown paper bag, right? Because the virus won't survive in there. It's dark.
Isn't that interesting?
It is. It is. Don't store it in a plastic bag, though. And I should note here, I'm not a doctor.
Right.
I'm just repeating the knowledge that I've, you know, my daughter is a doctor and told me, Mom, if you have to wear a mask, you know, when you have to wear the mask, because they were very difficult to find in the beginning.
Right.
So that you could reuse it, put it in a brown paper bag, but mark the bag front and back so that you're not putting the mask in and then using the backside, you know, putting it in the bag with the mouthpiece facing one way one time and then turning it and facing it like if there's germs in there, that not to infect
right.
the inside.
Right.
So, you know, we're reusing masks. We don't know what's on the mask, even if we did do the proper protocol.
Uh-huh.
And you can't wash those masks. So we have to, when we're in crisis like we are now, and I'd say this is crisis,
uh-huh.
in order for change to happen, we have to have trial and error, right? That's
right.
how we find new ways.
Right.
So though the masks are the thing that's working the best right now, or at least we hope that they are, it can't be the forever way.
No, and that's one of the reasons that, you know, I pointed out at the very beginning of the show, it is such a multi-pronged approach that we're looking at. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a vaccine, and I wish people would really understand that, because the vaccine for what is COVID-19 is just like any other flu vaccine.
Right.
You know, it'll work for some people, not for all. And this particular virus has been morphing from the very beginning.
Right.
And so, you know, the vaccine that they're creating was for the original virus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to be the same virus that we get in November or next January or February.
Right.
So people are going to have to stop looking for an outside answer, but looking for an internal answer. What are you doing with your thoughts? You know, what are you doing with your body? Are you exercising to keep your body strong? What are you doing with your sleep? Mm-hmm. What are you doing with taking nutritional products? Because we know that the products that are in the grocery store, even in the produce section, are not 100% of the vitamins that we need. And so if you're not willing to take responsibility there, it's going to be really tough to, I mean, you know, change. To me, is this has been a wake-up call for people to say, I need to get healthy.
Right. And, you know, and it's a shift down towards nutrition, but I'll agree with you on all these aspects. If we exercise and we get our heart rate going, you know, up enough that we're pumping the blood through our system faster, we're cleaning out our lungs on a deeper level than if we were just going through day-to-day life without getting any kind of cardio. And, you know, that's one way to keep your energy level up. Do some meditations. If you let fear get into your thoughts, fear is a virus in itself.
Right, and it does affect the ability of the cells to stay healthy.
Right.
The immune system gets suppressed.
Right, but think about fear for a second now, because if you're living in fear and you're not containing it, you're going to speak to people about your fear.
Right.
And they may not have been afraid, but maybe they are afraid, and your spread of fear is the virus.
Spreading, right.
So fear in itself is a virus. And if you're afraid of the virus, and that fear of the virus is in your brain, you already then have the virus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's infiltrated your brain. It's not going to take that long before it trickles down to your lungs.
Right.
So we can, you know, be in the present moment. Like, what's happening really right now? This is one thing that I would say would be to activate change. Start your exercise routine or maintain it. Start to take control of your thoughts, right, by meditation, looking for joyful moments so that your mind is not preoccupied with the virus, the fear, the virus, the riots, the economy, right? Take those three out of the picture, because you know what? In this present moment, you're perfectly fine.
Right?
So recognize that, and that's taking control. And proper diet, right? We have all this time home now, many of us, where the restaurants aren't fully functioning, and maybe we don't even want to go there. So let's learn how to cook healthier meals. You're home, you're not commuting to and from work. Activate that change there. Look up healthy diets online, and it's not that hard, you know, to do these things. It may seem overwhelming, but if you're actually doing things to take care of your health, you're not absorbed in all the other stuff.
Right. And it gives you a constructive place to go.
Instead
of, you know, at the beginning, I think everybody had their televisions turned on, you know, 24/7 almost.
Absolutely.
You know, how many have died now?
Right.
You know, what part of the world is safe, or what part is, you know, really going through disastrous
results? Is my family safe, you know, in other areas?
Exactly.
You know.
So there's a lot of things that we can do to maintain a more optimistic approach to this and not just the doom and gloom.
Absolutely. I know for me, you know, having in my practice, I have good skills for myself as far as keeping my head clear and keeping fear outside where it belongs. I don't want to own it. But I remember when this first started, my daughter is a doctor in Minneapolis, and she was having a meltdown. And she's, you know, 31 years old, so she hasn't faced any type of global pandemic, as none of us have. and she was really frightened that she was a very high rate of exposure. And I had to talk her off the ledge, and she said, why aren't you afraid? Why aren't you, you know, like, you could at least care about me. I said, I do. Do I have to scream, yell, and freak out for that
to show
you that
right.
I am?
Right.
Because actually that's not going to do me any good, and it's not going to help you either.
No.
So really not getting pulled into that cyclone of fear, right? You know, what that will do is just pull in, suck it all in.
Exactly.
Everybody in, and you want to be the calm in the storm.
Right, right. The eye of the storm where there's nothing going on, but you can kind of see, you know, the way out.
Right.
And granted, you have to go through stuff. But.
Right, right. Or even be outside observing the storm, right, from where we are. We don't even have to be in the storm. We can be on the outside, you know, battening down the hatches and keeping everything else safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really good focus, is to take the steps to make the change. What needs to be different in your life, whether it's the supplements, whether diet, the nutrition, the exercise, and the thoughts. It's all a full package.
Right. And if people are not sleeping very well, you know, that's another avenue of grabbing hold, I guess, of your mind a little bit, because the reason most people don't sleep well is they can't shut down the thought process. And
right.
so they lay there and it's quiet, and all of a sudden. Now, I do use a sound machine. I have used it for probably 30 years because I like the wave motion that I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm asleep within minutes of my head hitting the pillow. If I am super tired and I forget to turn it on, I will wake up realizing it's too quiet.
Right.
So, you know, sound machines are out there, people. You can, you know, pick one up for, gosh, you know, under $25 in most cases. And it really is extremely helpful for those who need to have a white noise, you know, to kind of quiet down. But, okay, so, you know, I tell people, you probably do too, that if sleep is an issue, because your body repairs itself when you sleep.
Right.
So your immune system is kind of being flushed down the toilet if you're going to bed and can't sleep.
Right.
Then
right.
it means maybe reading, maybe listening to, they have these things called bedtime stories.
Right.
And, you know, you might listen to a bedtime story that will help put you to sleep in a good frame of mind. But turning off the television at least an hour, you know, before you go to bed.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, I don't even have a television in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
I have not had one in there for probably close to 10 years. Primarily, it was the EMFs that, you know, we now have to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I really didn't want to watch the news before I went to bed because it was too negative.
They don't know how to give positive news anymore.
No, but something that I worked on with myself, and these are just a couple of things that worked for me, and just I'll share them here in case somebody else can benefit from it. The first thing I learned was in high school, I did have problems falling asleep, and I had a psychology class.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the takeaways was he did a meditation, and in one part of the meditation, what he said was, clear your mind, right?
Easier said than done.
Yeah, you're a teenager, but how I worked that into my life, which has stayed with me forever, was it getting darker, going deeper, and talking yourself down. Deeper, as if you can go deep into your mind, right, where nothing else exists but your body, right? And just allow yourself to breathe, go deep. And I will tell you, one thing that happened, I don't have dreams because of it, but I am asleep in less than a minute, and I go straight through the night. If I do wake up to go use the bathroom and my mind starts, I remind myself that I can think about all these things during normal, regular business hours when I'm awake, and that my body needs to heal now.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for me to take care of my body, we need to go back to sleep. So kind of like you're talking to yourself and like soothing yourself, soothing a child, like you would say to a child, it's time to go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You're using that voice. And in having trouble falling asleep with rumination, to retrain the brain, I tell a lot of my clients, think about one thing today that made you laugh. one thing that made you feel happy or at least was pleasant. And then your mind has a new task. It's going to think anyway. But if you can shift that thought to something that made you feel really good and you start to relive that moment, then you're setting yourself up for a joyful sleep, more peaceful. If you can't find it from today, set your mind on the task of when was the last time I laughed? And tomorrow when they wake up, look for the moment that made you feel good. Now you can remember something tonight when you go to sleep. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of a new search and discovery rather than the old things. I should have this, I should have that. What if this, what if that?
Right.
You can't solve that stuff at that time because you couldn't do it during the day. Why do you think you're going to do it at night?
Exactly. I remember a number of people, you know, talking about falling down the rabbit hole.
Yes.
Because, you know, they find themselves dwelling on all the, you know, if this happens, then this could happen. And then what if, what if, what if, what if? And, you know, it spins.
Right.
And so you absolutely have to put the brakes on. And the tapping procedure, the emotional freedom technique, that does wonders for individuals who need to break that habit of they can now tell themselves that I used to, you know, worry all the time about whatever, and now I know that everything is going to be fine. But you have to find a way to break, and it is a habitual habit for many individuals.
Well, if you think about it, our mind has, we have 60,000 thoughts a day.
It's <That's> crazy.
It is. And the purpose of these thoughts, when we're going to bed, and something that people can keep in mind, because these be awake and be ready for the signs, right? Every night, here's a sign that I am ruminating. How much time am I taking from living a joyful life right here at bedtime? The purpose of the rumination is essentially to keep you safe, right? And in this moment, like we can quote, look at Eckhart Tolle, right? This is the only moment that we have
right
now.
Right.
I'm fine. I'm safe. Oh, my pillow's so soft, or it's just the way I like it. This is what you can control right now. You are safe, and you just need to reassure yourself that the decisions will come when you open to the signs. When you're ready to receive those signs, like, let nature flow to you. You can't control everything by your thoughts. The only thing you're doing there is then controlling your state of being.
Right. And if you're not controlling it in a positive way, definitely you need to figure out how to stop that pattern.
Right.
Now, we were talking about signs, and you yourself, I've, you know, had tons of signs in the last couple of years. What are the signs that kind of appear to you that are guides, that are, you know, there to say, okay, Patricia, you are definitely going in the right direction?
Okay, so I can use some things from the past when I was doing a lot of healing work, and I was looking for signs intentionally, and then resisting the signs and asking for confirmation over and over and over again. I must have been a broken record. You know, where the guardian angel sits with her head in her hand.
She just doesn't get it.
Right. More confirmation. Well, you would have, for me, I was sitting in my yard in New York, and it was March. I had a dog. We were at, you know, I was just waiting for the dog to finish whatever he was doing before we went in. In the middle of March, something you don't really see very often is a butterfly.
Not at all.
Not in New
York. Not in New York.
Well, a butterfly, a beautiful yellow butterfly, came flying right in front of me as if to say hello. And to me, I thought, wow, what does that mean? I have to go look this up. So I have to go look this up on the internet. And of course, we know it's transformation, that, you know, you may be struggling in your chrysalis right now and you might not see the way out of it. But once we come out of the chrysalis, we are a beautiful butterfly and free, right? And carefree as a butterfly, right?
Right.
And so for me, that was one sign. And I started to collect them, you know. Nowadays, I will tell you this one. Last year when my father was dying, I had been down in Texas. And I would say for the last few years of his life, he was really questioning, where were we going to go? after here. And with our knowledge, you know, we know there's a beautiful place that we're all going. And I would talk to him about that, and his skepticism would say, well, we'll see. Well, we'll see. So the last night that I spent with him, I was in the hospital, and he was, you know, in moments, hours away from death. And I was holding his hand. I said, Dad, when you get there, because I know that you will, just leave me a tiny little white angel feather.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's all I'm asking, just so I know that you're there. And so I left it there. The next morning, I was heading to the airport. I got a song in my head, which my father loved, Waltzing Matilda, a beautiful waltzing song, right? Joyful.
Joyful.
Very joyful. And I was humming that in my head on the way to the car at 3:45 in the morning. And the phone rang, and it was my sister saying that my father just passed. That was my sign.
That was your sign.
I got to New York and was at my daughter's apartment that same day. We were out taking her dog for a walk. I bent down to pick up a ball to throw it for him. There was my little angel feather.
Really? How cool.
So, you know, we have to accept that. I asked for the sign.
Right.
And I didn't say, oh, it's just a coincidence, right?
Right, right. It was your sign.
It was my sign that I asked for. So
sure.
Why would you ask for it? You know, it's a process. Ask, oh, I did get this sign, but oh, that must be a coincidence. I can't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to that point of acceptance.
When my daughter-in-law's father passed away, they were all a very close family, and her dad was born, I don't know, it was probably like in the 30s, someplace along in there. But they were at his favorite bar having a drink on dad, you know, just to say, here's to you.
Right.
And Julie stepped on something on the floor, and she wasn't sure what it was, and she leaned over and picked it up, and it was a penny. And the date on the penny was the same year her father was born.
Wow. Yeah.
And so she said anytime she thinks about her dad, usually within 24 hours, a penny appears.
Right.
Not always with the date of his birth, but that particular one was the year that he was born in.
And that's another great way. Pennies from heaven.
Pennies from heaven, right.
And exactly. I have that with my mom, too. Anytime I see money on the floor, I think of her, because wherever we used to go, that woman would find coins everywhere. I said, Mom, it's a penny. I just have to get it. You know, she had to pick up all the coins. You know, wherever you were, she'd always find them. So I would walk around and look with her and not see anything.
And she was
picking them up. So for me, anytime I find money on the ground, I pick it up. I have a little jar. I just put it in the jar just to see, you know, okay, she's thinking of me, or she's here.
She's here, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the presence,
definitely.
You know. So it comes from believing in this, you know, wanting to see the signs.
Mm-hmm.
However it comes to you that you're ready to see those signs, beginning to see the patterns in your life, and saying, maybe I don't want this anymore. So
if the signs typically would be a little more on the negative side, that might be the wake-up call of, do you want to continue down that path?
Right.
Or if they're more positive, are you open to receiving more messages that are positive, enlightening, and that are going to guide you down a different path?
Right. And sometimes the person can hear the same message, see the same sign, but it wasn't delivered in the way that they could hear it.
Did you ever notice, because this has been true for me for most of my life, going to a movie or reading a book, either one of those situations, that you might be discussing that movie or book with an individual, and what they interpreted and what you interpreted were totally different, or the highlight of the movie is, you know, like I might come out and say, wow, that was so impactful.
Right.
And it wasn't anything they even remembered.
Right. It's true. I know, it's true. Or funny how people can just recite lines from a movie that was so inspiring for them. And I can say, I remember seeing that years ago, but I cannot remember those lines.
Right, right.
We all have different takeaways.
Right. And I think the takeaway is where we are at any given time and what we need to hear. And so one person's sign may not necessarily be another person's at all.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, because we're all experiencing things in different perspectives, mm-hmm. right? From different intellectual perspective, our spiritual perspective, so many different levels.
One of the things that I want us to touch on, you know, before our show is over today, and we have a little time to do this, is, again, the signs that we're seeing right now. Mm-hmm. Had COVID-19 not happened, I don't think we would be anywhere near where we are in terms of our seeing the racial issues, because we had to sit home. We had to come to grips with who we are, maybe, as individuals, what was important to us, our values, you know, what we stand for. And by getting quiet, by not being on the interstate and sitting for hours going to work and coming home from work and, you know, maybe cooking as a family and, you know, just doing things differently.
Right.
We were able to then, all of a sudden when this happened, go, oh my gosh, you know, this is not one individual, you know, that this happened to. This is a historical pattern.
Right.
And now we're looking at the pattern and saying, no more. We don't want to do this anymore. So those are signs from a universal position rather than an individual position.
Right.
So what do you think about that? You know, as far as we are experiencing life-changing, life-altering concepts.
Yeah, we and don't forget the financial aspect of it, too, because people are being brought to their knees, right?
Yes, yeah.
There's many people who are out there that are homeless, et cetera, you know, or just without food.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm seeing here is that, you know, my sense is this. It is long overdue, right, for people to accept each other for how they are, whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
We're all one person. Everybody close your eyes for a second. What do you see?
We all bleed blood.
We all bleed blood. We're all spiritual beings.
Mm-hmm. We all have souls.
We all have souls. We're all here for a purpose. We're really here to love one another, you know. And if people are still suffering emotionally because of things, it's just time to address it, and let's all get into a better place so that we don't have to have this concern come up anymore.
Right.
You know, it's just, I feel we as people should be far beyond this in our own evolution of humanity, right? But that's my thought on it, is that we should be at a point where this isn't even something that we want. It shouldn't even exist at this point. We have far more concerns to worry about than, you know,
do you have
hatred.
A thought as to the reason? I have personal thoughts, but the reason that it continues to exist in 2020. You know, if we go back to the beginning of time being counted, why, after 2,020 years, are we sitting?
Well, so let's hear your perspective and then we'll talk about it. What is your thought?
And you want to throw it back to me?
Yeah,
okay.
I want to put you on the table first.
Okay. All right, so I personally believe that a lot of this has to do with the ego, obviously, that we have multi-races throughout the world. Whether you're German, Russian, American, we all want to think that ours is the best, you know, that our thought waves, you know, we don't see ourselves as humans in bodies, but we see ourselves and we identify quite often with where we live and the socioeconomic maybe level of that particular country. When this virus started in Wuhan, China, I, based on what I heard initially, I thought this was a part of China that was really underprivileged, you know, that it was a very small, you know, area. Have you seen pictures? I mean, that is a part of China that is spectacular.
right.
in terms of buildings and, you know, transportational systems and everything else. It is
right. it's
just
highly
amazing.
Evolved, right.
Highly, highly evolved. Much more so than the United States.
Right.
And yet, you know, that's where the virus started. I also think that, you know, if we go back more than 2,000 years, a lot of it, unfortunately, has to do with religious beliefs
mm-hmm.
That are very, I'm trying to think of the word that I want to use here, but demeaning mm-hmm. to other religious beliefs.
Right.
And so, you know, that's another factor. So it's not just I am Native American, I am Black, I am Caucasian, labels that we're putting on ourselves to
right.
distinguish who we are, but it's also belief systems that say,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I'm Baptist and you're not Baptist, then you're not going to get to heaven. If I'm
right.
Catholic and you're not Catholic, then this won't happen for you.
Right.
So if I'm Jewish and you're not Jewish, then, you know, there are things that are you can't possibly understand.
Right.
And yet, we're all humans. You
right.
know, and they're forgetting that element. They're forgetting the fact mm-hmm. that we are all part of the human race.
Right. Absolutely. And so the way that I like the way that you brought that to the attention of everybody, really, perception
mm-hmm.
is taught.
Mm-hmm. It is taught.
So if we are going to go look at all of the religions, all of our skin colors, all of our belief systems,
mm-hmm.
that's exactly what they are, their belief systems.
And you change a belief by...
And you change your belief by acknowledging this is a belief system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking at why do I have this belief? Whose belief system is it really?
Mm-hmm. Where did it come from?
Where did it come from?
Right.
Right. So,
and challenge the belief system.
And then, right, then we have to challenge it and say, is this really the way I want to look at things anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Where has it gotten us as a... If we hold on to this belief system that, let's just say it like this, if you don't believe in God, you're not going to go to heaven. Right? Or if you, whatever the belief system is, even here with race, if you believe that somebody's been against you for
mm-hmm.
all centuries of time,
mm-hmm.
which we can understand,
mm-hmm.
of course we can understand that why it's a belief system, because there's historical evidence to support that.
All right. And one of the things I guess I would want to maybe point out as well is that our social media...
Oh,
is
yeah.
such that it is creating beliefs where beliefs didn't even exist, you know,
yes.
and so we're mixing in between television, you know, podcast, you know, even this one,
right.
you know, we're looking at political points of view, religious points of view, racist points of view, and we've got this hodgepodge of all of this mixing together, and the stew at this particular point is probably not very palatable to most people.
Right, right.
You know, we're not dipping in and going, this is yummy.
No, and so, right, so everybody's going into confusion and fear again.
Exactly. So false evidence appears real.
False evidence appears real, but we can look at the subconscious mind then. From what mm-hmm. we know, the subconscious mind holds our history and all of our belief systems.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't tell time.
It doesn't. No,
it doesn't tell time. So, of course, our belief system is going to be strong because our subconscious mind rules everything that goes on within our body, in our
right.
thoughts, everything.
Right.
It's our motherboard. It's our computer, right?
Right.
Then
I think it needs tweaking.
Yeah. And so what happens was, in order for us to stay in alignment and support our belief system,
mm-hmm.
our ego or our conscious will go out in the world and collect evidence to prove I'm right. Right?
Exactly. And so
now
we're
focused on I'm right, see what's going on in the world.
Right.
And okay, well, that's fine, but when does that end? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because even if peace were to come and resolution is to come, are we ready to accept that? Can we have a clean slate and move forward?
So if we were going to look at change,
right,
and beliefs and signs, which we've been talking about
yes.
all the way along,
right,
if we're looking at that and we were to say, how do I find the truth? How do
right.
I find what's right for me?
Right.
Not necessarily what's right for you or my neighbor or Joe down the street, but
right.
how do I find what's right for me? Centering.
Right.
You know, grounding yourself.
Grounding, being out in nature.
Looking around for your particular, I'm going to say guides, because
right.
I think we all have them. But listening with your heart,
Bring stillness within, and see if what you have right now is really serving your purpose.
Right.
Is this really bringing me joy? Is this really the way to do this? Mm-hmm. Is this right for me?
Right.
Right, because we're all faced with what's right for me now. What do I stand up for, et cetera.
But if we have enough agreement on a positive direction, right. something that is healing for the planet, for Earth, because, you know, COVID was international. It was universal. If it had just happened here in the United States, if it had just happened in Spain or Italy or China, it'd be so different. But we would have forgotten it. But now everything is impacting the whole universe.
Right. It is. Everything that we're facing right now is happening globally.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that doesn't speak volumes about what we, you know, like those are signs that it is a sign for all of the world to wake up and say, what can we do now to not only heal the earth, heal ourselves first, because first we need to heal ourselves before we can help anyone else.
Right. I mean, this whole awareness of how even the environment was improved because we stayed home.
Yeah, I thought that was great, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, we can see the impact that we as human beings have on this planet, and that we need to change our thinking, not just about one another, but about how we conduct our businesses and how we can make improvements in the quality of life, you know, as we know it. Because if we don't, you know, it just keeps being passed down to the next generation to do it.
So what I'll say about change is that if we are stuck, which we are at this moment in time, we're in like the waiting room, we have two choices. We can stay the same as we were before. Or, well, actually three. We can step forward into the future, or the world will change it for us. If we do not do anything, outside influences are going to force us to do something.
And that's a perfect place maybe for us to wrap this up,
is
to understand that, you know, right now, that waiting room is going to, the doors are going to open very shortly.
Right.
And we can choose to go through those doors and make it a different world for humans, for animals, for plants,
For
the air, for everything.
Right.
Or we can continue doing business as
usual
and, you know, reap the results of that. So, I mean, that's not just a warning, I don't think. It's like people everywhere, we need to all step back and really recognize that we have the power to change. We really truly do.
Take a collective sigh across the universe and really say, where do I want, where from here?
Yeah.
For the betterment of everybody.
Right. Where are we going?
Right.
What path do we want to choose to
take? These are the signs. Mm-hmm. See the signs. Step into the change and activate the change.
Absolutely.
You know, for that better you, for the better world.
Right. Thank you for being my guest. It was a fun conversation. Let people know how to find you.
Yes, thanks. I'm Patricia Simone. You can find me at www.thejewelsofknowledge.com. My number is 631-942-0506. I'm located in East West Healing Solutions in Palm Harbor, Florida, if you're local. And thank you, Lucy.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being my guest.
Fun being here.
All right, everybody. Remember that if you enjoyed the show, go to synergyconnectionradio.com, and Patricia's show will be the first one on the show notes page. There are 10 pages at this time, and so we have a lot of shows with a lot of amazing guests. Also, be sure to use my name, Lucy. If you go to the Boomers website and you decide to purchase any of their amazing products, that will get you $5 off of your order. And it's a very, very cool website with lots of wonderful blogs, videos, and written information for you to read. Enjoyed having you as my guest, Patricia,
yes,
again, and we'll see you soon. Go out there and make this your very best life. Thank you so much. See you next week.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.